Good evening, my dear brothers and sisters. It's so good to be here with you tonight and to open God's Word. Before we do this, let's again pray to the Lord. Our Father, we just pray that you will open your Word to us tonight, Lord, that you will open your Word and speak to us, Lord. We know that if you don't speak, the people can't receive, Lord. So just pray tonight that you will speak from your Word, your precious Word, and that your saints might be encouraged and comforted, Lord. Just bless that word, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Can you turn with me, please, to one verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and then we will read from verse 16 to 18. And then we'll return to the Old Testament for a few verses there. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 16 to 18. It says, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." So can you turn with me, please, to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis and chapter 12, and we'll read a few verses there. What I have in my heart is things that the Lord has shown me in the last few months, things that have really impacted my view on God and has refreshed my spiritual walk with God. And just I'm thinking of Abraham, the spiritual lessons in Abraham's life, spiritual lessons in Abraham's life. And I know I have a little bit of time, so I'll start reading in chapter 12 some of the things that the Lord has shown me. And may it encourage your hearts as well, and the relationship that the Lord has brought us into. And that's what I want to speak on, is the relationship that God has brought us into. And I'll connect it with the verse that we have read earlier in 2 Corinthians there. So we'll start reading at verse 1, Genesis 12, verse 1. "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem." However you say that word there, Shechem or Shechem, "unto the plain of Morah, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto thy seed will I give this land. And there," notice this, "and there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto the mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east." And notice this again here. "And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south." And verse 10, it says, "And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, Behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they shall kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may go well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. And the princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and he asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why said thou, 'She is my sister'? So I might have taken her to be my wife, to me to wife. Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way." And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had. And notice this verse here, verse 1 in chapter 13. "And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel." This is these two verses. "Even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar, where he had made there at the first. And there Abram called upon the name of the Lord." May the Lord bless the reading of his word to us. So I'm just thinking of this. I'm thinking of four things in Abraham's life. Four things that, and that would apply to our lives as well. Four things from salvation and onward. And we can see how the man of faith, Abraham here, we can see, first of all, we must notice that first there's the call of Abraham. Abraham gets called, and that's for each one of us. You can't just follow the Lord without being a Christian, without having been born again. There's that call of God coming to our lives. So God calls the believer to himself as well. And then the next thing is, we'll notice the progression of Abraham. So the call of Abraham first from verses 1 to 3, and then the progression of Abraham from verses 4 to 8, the progress of the believer. You can see that as well. But then you notice something, that's something that we all will go through or might go through our lives as we ebb and flow. And as we go from following the Lord, it's almost inevitable at one point or another that in the warfare that we are in, and the Satan will tempt us, and there will be the decline of Abraham, the decline of Abraham. So now here we can see this, and it's a sad picture from the consequences of it. It did not just affect Abraham, as we will see in the chapters following. It has implications to this day of what Abraham, his time there in Egypt. And now I want to speak of the decline of Abraham from chapter 10, verse 10 to 20, and also the decline of the believer. We can also be like Abraham. So to take note of this. But then finally, and this is one of my favorites, this is what the Lord really spoke to me about, is how the revival of Abraham and how he was revived. And that is God's great heart tonight for each one of us, where we're at, to meet us where we are. And you know, each of us know where we are in our hearts. And the Lord to meet us and to bring revival to our hearts. And how did it come? And we can see where it came from Abraham, to Abraham. We'll notice it was all to do with the Lord and his walk with God and how God desires that fellowship, that closeness. And we'll notice the difference from the earlier time that Abraham, when he was down in Egypt, the decline of Abraham. And I want to link the Egypt with the world and all of its lusts and everything that it has, and to entice the believer, and how easily we can fall into this. And speaking for myself first, how I know this very personally. So I'll just go verse 1, the call of Abraham. And this one, link it to us. It says, verse 1, "And now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto the land that I will show thee." And you can see God interjecting in a man's life, coming into a man's life that was from a place of idol worship. Abram was from a heathen land. And how do we know this? We think back in Joshua 24, verse 2, it speaks of Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor. And they served other gods. So Abram was called out from a place of idol worship, a place of a heathen background. And how good it is for God to come into our lives and to call us out, call out people unto himself, his own peculiar people, his own special people. And he calls us, we're special to him. The one who gave his own son, God gave his own son, and now he called out people. And that's how I want to speak of this, is is the importance that we are to God. Is that he called Abram out, and we can see how we are brethren beloved of the Lord, whom God had from the beginning chosen us to salvation, 2 Thessalonians. It says, when God had from the beginning chosen us to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And God has called out his people, his beloved people. And here we can see this of Abraham. God called them out from a place, all God's love, set his love upon Abraham. Called him out from generations to generations. He called him as a special person for the Lord. And that's what I want to impress upon us, that we are special to the Lord tonight, each one of us. And we have a call as well. It says in Hebrews 11, verse 8, and by faith Abraham, when he was called out, called to go out, you know, unto the place that he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing where he went. And this is amazing because we think of the Lord Jesus and going along with the call of God in our lives, how the Lord Jesus calls us in John 10. John 10, my sheep hear my voice. He says that his sheep hear his voice, and he call it his own sheep by name. He comes into a believer's life. He comes into the life of an unregenerate person, and he calls you out. He calls you by your name and brings you to that personal relationship with himself, that time that we will never forget when he brings us and he shows himself to us, just like God showed Abram to himself. And he called them out, and he leaded them out. And we think of Thessalonians. We think of Abraham, how he came out of an idol worship, a place of idol worship. And look how God, the Thessalonians, how God called them. We think of how it says, for they themselves show unto us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So you think of how this links with Abraham. You can see how he was called out from a place of idols, just like we were. Whatever idols they may be, for Thessalonians, it likely would have been actual idols, physical idols. But you think of our day and age, we think of how the idols are so prevalent, whatever takes up our heart other than God. And we know, in the Western culture especially, we have all these idols, these real idols that are in the life. And just God wants to take us from that place unto himself, not to know more, be in the land of idol, where we worship idols. But the most amazing thing is God called Abraham to a fellowship with himself. To fellowship with himself. Not just away from idols, but God wanted him to be with him. And that is the greatest, that's the greatest, there's nothing greater in this world than to be in a relationship with God. And this is the truth. The Lord Jesus prayed about this. This is life eternal, that they might know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. And in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9, I was thinking of this. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's the call of Abraham. I just want to link it to our lives. But then there's also obedience of Abraham. You think of the obedience, the progression of Abraham. He's progressing in his Christian walk, and he is obedient. You think of in verse 4, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And I think this is vital for a newborn babe, for a Christian. We think of how it speaks there in John, in John's Gospel. When the Lord Jesus speaks, he says how those that love him will keep his commandments. And we obey the Lord. We step by step, he leads us and we obey. And so Abram obeyed the Lord. You can see his progression. And then he's, in verse 7, we think of how he was worshiping the Lord. It says, and there he built an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. You can see his progression. It is now the Lord appeared unto him, but now we can see the strengthening of the relationship. We can see how he's being strengthened in his relationship. He is now not only is the Lord appearing unto him, there in verse 7, but he can speak, now it goes to verse 8, you can see the communion. You can see he's being strengthened in his relationship with God. He's growing, and now he is speaking to the Lord. It says, and he went from Bethel on the west and Hai on the east, and there he built an altar unto the Lord, and then it says this, and called upon the name of the Lord. And how good it is for us as we grow in our Christian walk that there is this communion with the Lord. It gets strengthened. We get more and more as we walk with God. Not only does the Lord appear to us and speak to us, but we also speak to him. And there's this vital communion that is happening, and that we're growing in him, and we're appreciating he, and then we go grow in the Lord Jesus. And think of this, that is God's desire, because think of the Lord Jesus. I want to encourage my dear saints tonight that the Lord Jesus, In Revelation chapter 3, as he's speaking to Laodicea, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." I just love this, the communion. The Lord, we think, how much do we desire this, this communion with the Lord? Abram desired it, but how much more does the Lord Jesus desire it? He's the one that's knocking at the door, and he is the one that wants that communion. He is the one that wants to speak and to come into our heart's door, even wherever we are tonight, wherever we find ourselves. He wants to sup with us. That's the greatest thing. There's nothing greater than this, than the Lord Jesus, the great, our Savior, from heaven, presently, wants to sup with us. He is knocking at our door, and he wants to sup with us. That communion. And think of how Lord Jesus said to Martha and Mary. Think of the service. Martha was serving, and she's cumbered about with many troubles. And the Lord Jesus says to her, one thing is necessary, one thing is needful. One thing I desire is, and Mary, sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing his word, his communion, and Mary's chosen that good part. She chose it. And that's what we will have to do. We need to choose it. It's part of our will. He desires it, but do we really want it as well? So this is, we can't have this. The one thing is needful. And so I just want to speak about the progression of Abraham. But then the decline of Abraham. And this is sad because this does happen in our lives. There's this decline, and I can speak for myself. This is real, and I've experienced this very much in my life. The decline. There's no neutral in the Christian life. When you're not going forward, you're going backward, and you're backsliding. And that's what happened with Abraham here. You can see the great man of faith. He was, as he departed, Lord spoke to him, "Go to land that I will show you." And he didn't even know where he was going. And he went by faith, trusting in the Lord. The very thing that he was strong at is the very thing that he fell in, as you can see here. There was a famine. Notice the famine. There's a famine when it comes to the world. There's a famine when it comes to Egypt. And there's a great famine. He went downward. It says he went down to Egypt. There in verse 10, he went down into Egypt. And that's exactly what's going to happen. It's a downward spiral. It's going backwards when you go down into Egypt. And you can see how there's a decline in Abram's life. And there was a famine in the land. And you can think of, in verse 12, he had fear instead of faith. You notice there's some lapses in his faith. He says, "They will kill me, but they will save thee alive." So he started doing things, seeing things naturally. And he is acting on his natural sight. He's not really trusting the Lord here. And you'll notice that there were no altars in Egypt. There's no altars in Egypt. There's no worship or communion, as we read of here. But yet God is so faithful, and God is with him. He will never leave him nor forsake him. The Lord protected him even there. And that's so true of our lives. God allows things to happen, and he will chasten us to bring us back. But he is so tender that he will not give us more than we can bear, and he will work with us even in that time. You can see there's no communion, and there's no altars built in Egypt. And I just think of this, how we cannot serve God in mammon. You cannot serve God in unrighteousness. You know, God wants to have a holy, holy, holy life. He wants to have all of us. He doesn't want us to be in the world, dabbling in this and dabbling in this, and then a little bit have a divided heart. He wanted Abram fully. And you notice how even the Lord Jesus says, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God in mammon. And it says, the Lord Jesus even speaks about how they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So we are in the world, yet we still gravitate at times towards the world, things of the world. Yet God has called us out, called out people to be with him, and he desires us to be with him. But you can see here, there was a decline. And in Ephesians 5, he even speaks about it. And I want to encourage us to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, reprove them. So you can see how God's desire is not that his people be in the world. God's desire is that his call out people whom he has purchased with his own blood. We belong to him, and he wants that fellowship. He wants to sup with us. So that's something that I enjoy there, of the decline of Abraham. But then there is a revival of Abraham, the revival of Abraham. And notice where the revival happened. In verse 1, it says there's a separation. Separation from. It says, and Abram went up out of Egypt. He was upward. Now he's not just leaving Egypt behind, which was necessary. separation is necessary. And that's how I was linking with that verse there in 2 Corinthians there, how it speaks about come out from amongst them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you back to relationship. Notice this. It's not just leaving this. You're not just leaving something behind. You're getting something so much better. You're getting the Lord and all of him. And he desires this. And he went up out of Egypt, he and his wife. And notice, it says all that he had. Everything that he had, he went up out of Egypt. And so that's necessary, is that we bring everything that we have. And there's a holy separation. And a separation unto the Lord. And then you think of this in 2 Corinthians as well. It says, and I will receive you and would be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. That's God's heart. He wants to be our father. He wants to be have our everything, and he wants our nearness. But he knows without holiness, no man shall see the Lord, says there in Hebrews chapter 12. So we won't see the Lord if we're in the world and we have a divided heart. But when we make the separation and we turn to the Lord, all our hearts, what is God's desire? What is his heart? He will receive us. Gladly receive us with open arms. You think of the man there. And I think of Luke 15, where it speaks of that prodigal son. And the same heart of God, the blessed heart of God. He is waiting for him. There is a famine in the land there as well. And I just want to apply it to us. I will receive you. Did the father receive the son when he came home? He had open arms. He ran to him. He was looking from a distance for his child to come home. And he was looking as it were every day. Is he going to come home? And as he saw him, he ran to him and fell on his neck and kissed him. And that's God's heart for us. God wants, he says, I will receive you. That speaks to the believers there in 2 Corinthians verse 6. I will receive you. So that's, but then he also went back to the place of the altar. Back, notice it where he had back, from the place where he had backslidden from. That place of communion, that place where he had progressed in his Christian walk. And there was this strengthening of his relationship with God, this blessed relationship, this fruitful relationship. And he had gone out into the world and had fellowship, as it were, with the things of the world. In Egypt, there's a famine there, a spiritual famine as well. And I know that's for my life, very real. But then, back to the place of the altar. That's from a place where we left. That's where God wants us tonight. Place of the altar. It says there, between Bethel and Ai, the second part where he had this communion. Not the first time it says to Bethel, but the place between Bethel and Ai, where he built an altar, and then again he called upon the name of the Lord. There he is again, calling upon the name of the Lord. Revival in his heart, revival in his walk. And God, from that time on, he was walking with God, Abraham. The Lord blessed him so much. Unto, it says, verse 4 in chapter 13, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. That's where God wants us. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And there's a revival in his relationship. That's what God wants. He wants us back with himself, away from the world, back to himself. But I did mention earlier, and even in their churches there, it says to Ephesus, he says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. He says, and repent and do the first works. And that's what God wants. The first works is to be with him, to love him, to have that relationship with Christ, that blessed relationship. So that's something I just want to encourage you about heart. God's heart is, I will receive you. I will receive you when you come back. And it's so precious because I've experienced this. And just to encourage you of the father and the son there, the prodigal son, and the father ran on him, fell on his neck and kissed him. His son came home. But there, Revelations 20, remember this as well. The Lord Jesus says, I will come into him. I'm standing at the door knocking. And I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. That is God's desire tonight. As you go home, that's what the Lord Jesus desires more than anything, is that he's knocking on the door. Why is he knocking? Because he wants to have to come in a fellowship with his own people that he has purchased with his own blood. So that may the Lord bless us. And think of the consequences of sin, of being in Egypt. We think of Lot and how when Lot looked out to the water, he looked out when he chose, when Abram says, we cannot be together anymore. Choose you which land. And Abram said, and Lot looked out and saw a well-watered plain like Egypt. It looked like Egypt to him. So he had been affected. It affects other people. Our time in Egypt, it affected Lot. It affected his, and look which place he picked, Sodom and Gomorrah in that area. And look at consequences that were there. But he saw things because it reminded him of the world. And so we might be able to handle it. The Lord might bring us out, but look how it affected someone else. But then also, one other thing is look at Hagar. Look at the effects of Hagar, an Egyptian. He brought Hagar with him. And you think of how the world, we bring the world with us. There's some consequences. And to this day, and we think of Ishmael and what came out of Ishmael to the Jewish people and what enemies they've been. And look what consequences there were there. And so I just want to encourage us to see how God can revive us and that he desires that more than anything. He loves us. He loves you tonight. He loves me. And he just wants us to be with him. And he wants to revive us. Keep our eyes on him, eyes on Jesus. Through this whole time, this pandemic, he desires to sup with us. May God bless to us the reading of his precious word. Let's pray.